Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Peter Markovitz, president of Mathnasium Franchise Opportunity, and Mathnasium franchisee, Don Opalko. And Mathnasium Learning Centers specialize in teaching kids math in a way that makes sense to them. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. If you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and it's a must-read for franchising. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine, Marty. How are you this week?
Good, good. Keeping busy, getting ready for the holidays and a little break. I think well deserved for both of us, huh?
Right. Yeah, the holidays are upon us pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And
next
it's
week.
Nice. You always get a few days off. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. I love the Thanksgiving Day holiday. You know, it always kicks in the you know, holiday seasons, you know. So it's always a wonderful time of year, you know.
Getting together with family, relatives, yeah, it's all nice.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff, you know. So just looking forward to that. We have a big show before Thanksgiving next week, too, don't we?
Yeah, our 150th show.
3 years. Aren't you tired?
I'm ready to do the next 3 years.
There you go. Same here, you know. It's a lot of hours, 150 hours, you know, of material. So it really has been quite incredible. But we had a great show last week. Our last show, we met with Jamie Brenkus of the Slim and Fit Franchise Opportunity. And Jamie is the founder and America's premier weight loss coach and fitness trainer. Jamie has dedicated his life to providing time-oriented approaches to enhancing one's lifestyle through proper nutrition and fitness. Also famously known for the 8-Minute Abs. You know, Jamie is the founder of 8-Minute Abs, you know. And just an incredible show. I thought I'd let you start off talking about it. I think we both kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, it was one of our best shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has lots of energy. I know it was going to be a good show.
Yeah.
He really explained the franchise opportunity well. Like you just mentioned, he has a great resume, and he's accomplished a lot in his 24 years in the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like the perfect type of guy to really grow this opportunity nationwide. He's really like the modern-day Jack LaLanne.
Yeah, he sure is. And that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I never thought about that. I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Oh, he's already heard it. Yeah.
Oh, he has. Okay, yeah. I thought you just made that up. So,
no.
Like, man, you're quick. But yeah. But it's true. I felt like I was talking to, like, an Anthony Robbins, you know. I mean, he was just so motivated and inspirational. I think that's important, you know, when you're buying a franchise, is to look to the experience of the founder of the company, you know. I mean, do you get along with him? You can tell he's a very likable guy, you know. I mean, he's somebody who, you know, he's very inspirational. As you were mentioning, it was 24 years experience. And in that 24 years, I mean, I think he's really created, you know, if I could use Michael Gerber's words, a kick-ass system, you know. I mean, I think he has a real strong system. And I think it's there's not a lot of bells and whistles either, Dom, with this kind of franchise model. And I think that's important to franchising. I think, you know, there's some franchises out there where it gets very, very complicated, you know. I mean, if you're franchising a five-star restaurant, that could be very difficult, you know. There's a lot of bells and whistles that come along with that. So it's a pretty simple model, you know. I mean, like Subway is a very basic franchise model, but that's part of the success of it. You know, you can duplicate it.
Well, I mean, he gave us numbers at $75 billion industry and growing. You know, it's something that's not going to be going away.
Right.
Fortunately, a lot of people are overweight, and people want to make themselves look nicer. And, you know,
this
is a low-investment franchise. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple.
Right.
And he's really fused together. It's really like, you know, two businesses in one with the, you know, the fitness and then the diet and, you know, nutrition end of things. So,
yeah, it's very rare to get two businesses in one. You know, I think that was one of the hot buttons for me. You know, when we were talking to him, you said something clever too on the show. You know, talking about it, kind of like an add-on service, that this could be an add-on service to other types of, could be a business or a franchise, you know. And I thought that was very interesting as well, you know, because
to approach
think about
an existing,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for an existing business. You know, could be a chiropractor, a dietitian, a health club, a day or med spa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's other industries, but
hey,
those businesses might want to add a weight loss component to their business to add another revenue stream to just expand their services, which can help their existing business. So, and there's even a discount for an existing business who wants to start up. So,
yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, you know. And you really don't need a lot of space for this kind of business either, do you? You know,
no, it's just really a couple hundred square feet. Yeah.
Right. You know, so there's just a lot of things that I was very attracted to in this type of franchise model. You know, Washington. I mean, there's a crisis going on in the United States too. You know, as you were saying, you know, I think Washington is making us, you know, personally responsible. I mean, there's going to be some cost to being overweight. You know, I think with the whole healthcare crisis. I mean, it's just a disaster here in the United States. So there is going to be a price, you know, if you're overweight. You know, they're talking about soda taxes and all sorts of other things, you know. So, and it's just something we just can't get away from. So, yeah, as you were saying, the market is huge. And it's a repeat sale too, Don, isn't it? I mean, it's not a one-time sale. I mean, when you have a coach, you know, I think what you find is you probably become very dependent on that coach. And the coach, what it does is they make you accountable,
you know. So I think they're an important part, whether it's a life coach or a business coach, whatever that may be.
They have a fit trainer and a swim coach.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people want privacy. They want service. You know, the accountability is important. And if it's working and they're losing weight, and it's not just a grueling process where they don't like eating the foods and the meals, if that all is working for them, there's a good chance they're going to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great show. You know, I'd love to have him back. I know he's going to sell a bunch of these franchises, you know, over the next several months. And, you know, then what I'd like to do is bring some of their franchisees back, you know, after they get their feet a little wet, you know, and situated. You know, we'll have them back in 2010 as well. But, yeah,
good.
Great. Interesting show today, too, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we're having Peter Markovich, president of Mathnasium, and a successful franchisee, John Apalko. So they'll be coming on shortly and be hearing all about the, you know, the history of Mathnasium and the success they're having around the country and, I guess, international.
Yeah, you and I have been spoken very highly, too, about this category, too. You know, I mean, I think we're both a big fan of it. You know, I mean, again, we both have kids, you know, so, you know, hopefully, you know, it's nice to know that there's this service out there, you know, that you and I didn't have, you know, growing up as kids. I mean, if you, you know, I know you're pretty good at math because you're in the finance business, but, you know, if you struggle with math a bit, you know, I mean, it's, where did you go to, you know? I mean, you had to figure it out sometimes for yourself, you know? So I think it's wonderful that these services are out there. I think there's a big demand for them today. So I just like this category in general.
Same with me, yeah.
You know, so interesting. And next week, as we were mentioning before, we have our 150th radio show, and really having I guess I can call him a legend in franchising, is Dr. John P. Hayes. You know, I mean, he really does know more about franchising than us, you know, so he's been doing it quite a while, and he's just a wonderful speaker. He speaks at all the IFA conventions all throughout the world, and just really looking forward to having him on the show. Really good guy. And, yeah, so, and I know you had some interesting articles. I know you were up late last night. You said scanning the globe for topics for today's
show. Maybe during
the
week, but I was in bed early yesterday morning.
You were, okay.
Yeah, just let everybody know that. But, yeah, entrepreneur.com, 10 reasons to purchase a franchise by Carrie Back.
Mm-hmm.
Starts out, it's too risky. I don't have the capital. People might not buy my product. I don't know the first thing about running a business. Yes, excuses proliferate. With the economy the way it's been for the rest of the year, forget about it. That's why it's nice to have help, and there's probably no bigger source for startup help than a well-chosen franchisor. It's why people look to franchising as a vehicle to drive their lifestyle and their income in the right direction. As a result, some are dipping into their pensions and 401ks, withdrawing their faith in the stock market, investing in a more manageable and profitable future. The allure of starting a franchise business that is packaged and ready to go versus the uncertainty of an independent startup is worth the weight in gold. Not convinced yet? Check out our top 10 reasons why franchises are a worthwhile investment. So they list here 10 reasons to purchase a franchise. And number one, Marty, you are buying a proven formula.
Okay. Which we spent some time talking about last week, too. We frequently used, and Jamie frequently used the word system, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, which really what it is. And this guy, Mike Johnson, starts out, it's all about systems. Mm-hmm. Co-owner of Savory Spice Shop, a new boutique franchise concept out of Denver that offers more than 400 freshly ground spices and seasonings. When you buy into a proven franchise concept, you avoid many of the major hurdles new startups face because the franchisor has already worked out the kinks, laid a solid foundation. A good franchisor will have everything systemized and ready for you, a business paint by numbers, he calls it.
Interesting.
The second thing is larger franchise companies offer in-house lending or assistance attaining financing. We've gone over this a few times during the year. Due to tightening lending practices, many franchise companies these days are providing in-house financing for part or all the total startup investment, says Rob Goggins, Vice President of Franchise Development for Great Clips. This eliminates unnecessary time seeking approval from the third-party lenders on things like franchise agreements and business pro forma. Yeah, we had him on the show in the past.
He's a good guy.
The third thing, Marty, a franchise provides a built-in support system. If you need help negotiating the terms of a lease, if your POS system is acting up again, or if you want to offer a special promotion and need advertising and design assistance, the franchise is there to help. Number four, a franchise is more attractive to the SBA. I know this firsthand, of course. It's why I mainly
That's true.
Concentrate and specialize on franchise lending.
Right.
Competitive rates and longer terms, SBA loans are a smart way to fund your franchise unit, not to mention there are no points, no balloon payments, and no prepayment penalties. According to SCORE, a nonprofit resource partner of the SBA, franchise loan applications are looked upon more favorably by the SBA than loan applications for independent startups because franchises are turnkey operations and have a lower failure rate. The fifth thing, Marty, you can be your own boss, almost. You call the shots, you manage the schedule, you run the show. Just understand there's no pecking order. It's not the same as being an entrepreneur, but it's the next best thing, Johnston says, explaining that a franchisee owns an individual unit but has also agreed to follow a formula put in place by the franchisor. If you choose to follow the business system and use the support system in place, your chances of being your own boss for a longer time will increase. Next thing, number six, is some low-cost franchises have strong return on investment. That's, you know, that's
right.
One of the biggest reasons why people, of course, invest in a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And also, your return on your investment is quicker. And then a lot of franchises have strong profit margins.
True.
Number seven, in a down economy, the buy-in prices are lower. Investing in a business in the down economy is like buying a BMW for the price of a Ford, says Harry Mather, interim managing director of Northwestern Mutual out of Illinois. During a recession, cash is limited, even among the best businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Franchisors that want to build capital to grow or simply to stay afloat are actually discounting their franchise fees, knowing that when the market turns, they will flourish. Number eight is name recognition and what consumers look for, especially in a recession. Consumers generally frequent those businesses in which they are most familiar and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Having an instant access to a recognized brand provides a built-in security blanket. During a recession, consumers are more inclined to go with what they know. It's about name recognition and consistency. Number nine, Marty, baby boomers who can't retire can be their own bosses and see solid returns on investment. It's no secret many boomers took a devastating hit in the market. For some, retirement has been postponed. For others, it's been canceled. That's why so many once hopeful retirees-to-be are looking to franchise it as an opportunity for a new future.
Right.
And the last one is the chance of success is much higher. The bottom line, a franchise is more likely to succeed than an independent startup, and the security of investing in a proven concept is worth its weight in gold. With a franchise, the chances of success are dramatically increased because you have the support of the system. The franchisor has already taken most of the risk. That's what you're really paying for.
Right.
And those are...
It's a good article. I mean, they really hit, you know, a lot of the key points, you know, that you and I have, you know, spoken about on the show the last 3 years. You know, I don't think they really missed that much, you know. And, you know, the order... You know, that they came up with those things. I mean, again, yes. I mean, really, probably they did get it right by listing number one is buying into a system or a method of doing business.
Right.
You know, so you get the same result every single time. What's most critical, though, is you do have to be able to follow a system, you know, and that's something I think that you and I frequently mention on the show, too. You know, if you're a true entrepreneur, you know, franchising isn't for you. You know, perhaps you're someone who should create a franchise or a business, but kind
right.
of stay out of franchising. It could be a franchisor's worst nightmare, I think, you know, to have a someone who just constantly likes to reinvent the wheel. Not for you, you know. So
right, exactly.
So good article.
And I saw something here from Franchise Times Magazine, our friend. They just had their recent issue with the history of the IFA.
Uh-huh.
They have here decisions that changed the franchise world. And it goes over some specific court cases. 1971, Siegel versus Chicken Delight. Remember Chicken Delight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Route 9 in Sayreville, New Jersey. Yes.
That's right. I've been to that one, too.
You're kidding.
Anyway, that's
yeah.
a side conversation we'll have
right.
off the air. It says there's Siegel versus Chicken Delight, 1971. If a franchisor gives its recipes, trademarks, and brand to franchisees in return for an agreement that the franchisees must buy certain supplies from them, should they be exempt from antitrust laws?
Hmm.
The court ruled no.
Huh.
Burger King versus Rudzewicz, 1985.
Okay.
The U.S. Supreme Court found that franchisors were allowed to require out-of-state franchisees to litigate disputes in the franchisor's home court.
Interesting.
Burger King versus Hall, 1991, a court found that the mere fact that a franchisor sends a termination letter to a franchisee makes that termination valid and requires that the franchisee shut down operations. If it's later found that the franchisor should not have terminated the franchisee may sue the franchisor for damages but may not keep using its trademarks.
Wow. I think I was mentioning this to you, too. You know, not to pick on Burger King, you know, because, I think they have a wonderful operation. We've never had them on the show, so I've never actually studied their franchise system. It seems pretty sophisticated. But I know right now I think there was a class action lawsuit filed against them from the franchisees. I guess they're upset about this whole dollar menu thing.
Yeah.
Where they're actually losing, I think it's like 5 or 10 cents on every hamburger that they sell or something like that. I think it's something off
right.
the dollar menu. I don't have the article in front of me, but I know something's going on with them right now, so it is kind of interesting.
Right.
You mentioned burgers.
I know Subway's had some issues with their $5 footlong kind of cutting profit margins close.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pluses and minuses to the whole thing. You know, I mean, I think the whole trick is getting the customer into the store, too. You know, I mean, I think
right.
headquarters probably realizes that. I mean, if McDonald's is doing this whole dollar thing, I mean, it's a pretty strong offer, you know, so...
Yeah.
You know, do you stop doing it? Do you leave that up to the franchisee to make that decision? You know, so.
So that was 1991, Marty, Burger King versus Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7 years later, well, no, it says here, yeah, then 7 years later, it was McDonald's versus Robertson. The case essentially overturned Burger King versus Hall, finding mm-hmm. that a franchisor can't get an injunction against the franchisee simply because it sent the letter of termination.
Right.
And the franchisee continued using the trademarks. The franchisor must first prove that it was justified in terminating the franchisee.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And this last one is Sheck versus Burger King, 1991. I guess there was 291 cases against where Burger King was involved.
Poor Burger King, yeah.
The U.S. District Court delivered a landmark ruling in favor of Burger King franchisee Stephen Sheck, stating that though Sheck didn't have territorial exclusivity in his contract, Burger King did not have the right to open stores wherever it wanted.
Mm.
And then, 8 years later, the decision eventually was overturned in favor of Burger King, stating that if a contract says the franchisee has no territorial exclusivity, the franchisor may build stores wherever it likes.
Really?
So
wow.
Here are a couple, you know, big-time... franchise
cases.
Issues.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That were overturned all in the same decade.
Right. Franchising, I mean, has a very interesting history, Don. I mean, we have, like, you know, dozens of stories that we learned about on the show, you know, I mean, just about some very interesting cases. I don't know if you remember the one with, Minnie Pearl?
Right.
It was a franchise yeah. named after her, and I guess Minnie Pearl knew nothing about it, you know, and, I mean, franchisees thinking that, you know, they're buying into Minnie Pearl, just, I mean, the name alone, and...
Right, they just used her name, I guess.
I mean, there's so many stories like that. We could have, like, a whole two-hour show just on
right.
these things, you know, so it is kind of interesting. But, yeah, I mean, those are great articles. Why don't we do this? I see Peter has called in. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Good articles, Don.
Thanks.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Peter Markovitz, who is the president of the Franchise Opportunity Mathnasium, and Mathnasium franchisee, Don Opalko. And Mathnasium Learning Center specializes in teaching kids math in a way that makes sense to them. Hey, Peter. Hey, John. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
This is Peter Markovitz.
Good morning. Hey, Peter. Hey, John. Guys, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Peter and John.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, guys. We look forward to hearing all about Mathnasium. Hey, real quick, I want to see what you guys is better at math. What's 10 times 5 minus 4?
Don's a smart aleck, so. Peter, I thought I'd start
an answer.
I'm going to leave all the hard questions to John.
Okay, good idea.
There you go. Peter, I thought I could start off with you. We always like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning to get an idea of what the weather is there.
I'm in Los Angeles, and it's magnificent.
It always is, yeah. Fantastic. And John, how about yourself?
I'm in Houston, and it's also very nice.
Nice. Okay, fantastic. Peter, how about you take this first question? What were you doing before joining Mathnasium?
I was the president of a chain of learning centers, which operated in the United States and in 70 other countries.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, good. And John, what about yourself? How did you
what were you doing before becoming a franchisee to Mathnasium?
I was an employee at Microsoft. I was involved in consulting and technical sales.
Wow. Okay, great. Okay, good.
And Peter, tell us a little bit about the history of Mathnasium, when it started and when you began franchising.
We started about 7 years ago, and we ran a first model center in Los Angeles in the Westwood area.
Okay.
For a year. We started franchising after about 15 months, and we have more than 200 locations today.
Now, what went into the decision as far as franchising the concept? What made what made you feel that this can be a successful franchise?
Well, having been in the learning center business before, we thought that an opportunity in math actually represented the greatest opportunity in the field of education. So we went into this thing with the anticipation of franchising. That might be a little unusual.
Right.
We somewhat anticipated the success. So we were looking really for proof of concept, and after more than a year, seeing the pretty fast trajectory of that initial learning center, and seeing that it was going the way that we had hoped and anticipated that it would, we decided to franchise. So we knew the field very well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great. I think that's a great way to go into it, Peter. I mean, if you've ever read the book The E-Myth, I mean, Michael Gerber does say, I mean, whether it could be any kind of business, you should always go in with the anticipation of creating a system. So I think it was very clever on your part that you guys went in with that attitude. And it was also a very positive attitude as well. So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little risky franchising early on, but math is obviously a major curriculum. Mm-hmm. But to have that be a franchise all on its own, I mean, obviously you guys have proven that it can be successful. A lot of your learning and education franchises cover, a wider range. So it's very interesting that they have, this niche type of franchise that's going very well.
Right. Very often people start out with a single unit, which is ultimately franchised.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no anticipation of franchising at the time that they begin. And
right.
So the idea of creating systems is not in their mind. But with us, from the very beginning, we had that was very central to our thinking. So the our approach was designed very much with the anticipation of trying to maximize the opportunities for the franchisees who would follow.
I personally could probably use your help. I'm in franchise financing, but I'm lousy at math.
Well, I think, I was saying earlier before the show, Peter and John, I mean, I wish that this was a service that was available when I was a kid. I mean, I struggled with geometry, and I was pretty much on my own, to figure it out for myself, So I wish that this service was around, and I guess that's probably part of the reason you created the whole concept as well. I think there's a lot of people out there with that kind of need.
Yes, there is very unusual demand here and not very much a supply. So
mm-hmm.
it is a very unusual opportunity. The
right.
fact is that most kids need help with math at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
And while people, if you ask them, to identify, electronics store or, some other vendor, or service, they'd automatically be able to identify. But if you said to the average mother or father, is there, where would you take your child for math instruction where you would be confident of a good result? Almost, all parents wouldn't be able to tell you where they could take them.
Well said.
At least not at a reasonable price.
Sure.
And so that creates a very, very unusual opportunity.
Interesting.
Right. And John, what sold you on the franchise? What was it about Mathnasium that, really had you make your final decision with them?
Well, I think it's the educational program. I was looking at franchising as well as some other business ideas. As I finished 10 years at Microsoft, I wanted to go into business myself, and I was kind of looking around what I could do. At the same time, my son was having difficulty in math, and I think he was in the third grade at the time.
Yeah.
And I was looking around what was available. I was traveling a lot doing consulting work and not home to be able to help him. And what I saw in the market was not really going to be very helpful in his situation.
Right.
So those two searches led me to Mathnasium. I looked over the educational program, and it really struck a chord with me. My background in college is applied mathematics, so I did do some teaching in the Peace Corps when I finished school. So I had some teaching background, and it was just the entire approach about not just drill and practice. It's about learning how to think, and that really struck a chord with me.
Interesting, which is, your scenario is really quite common, John. You know, I mean, the daddy and the mommy, I mean, working today, you know, and you're traveling a lot, and, you know, it's just part of life today, and you can't always be there for your kids to help them with all the homework that they get today. And it seems like there's a lot of homework today for kids is what I'm learning, you know. So I could see how you said that, you know, it struck a chord with you. And plus, I saw you did have a teaching background, too, you know. So it was probably a discovered passion, I guess.
Yes, yeah. I always had a goal in the back of my head to teach. I thought I'd do it when I retired.
Right.
This gave me an opportunity to do it sooner and to combine that with my desire to have my own business and be part of the community and contribute something to the community. So it really fulfilled a lot of the things that I was looking for.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, almost like a perfect fit for you.
Yeah.
Peter, how do you describe the Mathnasium franchise system to a new prospect?
Well, as John said, sort of core to the system is the education program. At the time that we decided to enter this field, we went out and we looked for the best way of teaching math. We actually thought that if we found an excellent way, that would suffice, that the opportunity was so great that even if it were not the best, you know, it's very hard to find the very best.
Yeah.
But we really did an international search of all of the best methodology that was out there, and we were very surprised that there was a math educator in Los Angeles, in our own backyard, so to speak, who had spent the last 30 years developing a better way of teaching math, a way of really closing the gaps that kids have, a supplemental math program that could be used in the afternoons with kids who needed help with math, or kids who were looking to accelerate their math performance.
Right.
And, so we built our franchise around that methodology, and that is something of a blessing, because many people sort of boast of having a secret source, you know, a better recipe for doing things.
Right.
And with us, we really have this blessing that was not really anticipated, that we actually, you know, just had the privilege of finding one with a truly great man who's dedicated his life to this. And we have the opportunity of using that system. Around that, we try to provide a much better sort of physical environment for the children than they're used to. So these are very attractive neighborhood learning centers that children like to go to, with a teaching methodology that they enjoy and that advances their skills.
That's interesting. And what role has technology played in your business, Peter? Big part, small part?
Well, many people anticipate in teaching math that we must be sort of leveraging computers extensively. But actually, in that respect, our approach has been very low-tech.
Mm-hmm.
And this surprises people further, because our previous business had been teaching computer literacy. We quite literally taught millions of children how to use computers.
Right.
People anticipated that, you know, we'd try to use computers in order to teach math, but what children need really is the ultimate teaching technology, and that is not the computer. It's actually a human being who's well-trained and who has the right materials in front of them that are calibrated exactly to that child's needs. So our approach does not involve technology.
Yeah,
we're trying to use technology more and more in terms of our organization of the business, and I think that a lot of our development will be in the use of technology to run the business better in the future. But we needed to make this concept work without too much dependence on technology, and we were a little afraid of it, particularly in the education area, because it's something that was something of a failed revolution in the schools. There was an anticipation that computers could replace the role of the teacher, and in fact,
right.
They're only really good at enhancing the role of the teacher sometimes.
Sure.
So we're relatively low tech in the approach of teaching the children.
That's great. And what about the industry? I mean, are there any hard numbers as far as how big your industry is? I mean, it sounds like it's pretty big to me, if I had to guess.
Yes, it's a good question to ask for the hard numbers, because the hard numbers are really only expressed in minimums.
Mm.
Certainly the size of the industry is in the hundreds of billions of,
right.
of dollars. 200 billion is perhaps the lowest number that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that it's somewhat soft is because most parents still take their children to private tutors, have somebody try to help their child in the afternoon, because there are too few learning centers, institutions that have really an organized approach to this, and the ones that are out there, unlike ours, are too expensive.
Right.
We have a system which has particular efficiency that enables us to provide high quality instruction, and it's helped by the fact that we teach math exclusively, so that creates certain efficiencies for us. So parents are, it's still somewhat, and this is what makes Mathnasium perhaps a bigger opportunity. A lot of parents, as I say, are taking their children to private tutors, so it isn't quite organized yet, it isn't institutionalized yet, it's still something of a cottage industry, if you will.
Right.
So much of the revenue is still flowing in that direction, more and more towards learning centers as they seize the opportunity. So the number is very possibly far greater than the $200 billion number.
Which is an incredible number, and I'm not really
right.
surprised to hear that, because this is such an important part of kids growing up
mm-hmm.
and needing your service, and, parents, this is something parents are going to pay for. Even
right.
during tough times, this is important. They have to have it done. The kid has to learn. So, I imagine this goes on all over the country.
That's true, and they're willing to pay a premium if they can find the right service.
Mm-hmm.
What's unusual about us is that they get the premium service, and this is something that's helped us particularly during recessionary times. They get the premium service, but our cost is at least a third less than some of the other learning centers, and the quality of our instruction, I think, because we specialize in just this area, is far greater than anyone else.
Right.
Interesting. John and Peter, we have to take a quick break. Can you guys stick around for another segment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Peter Markowitz, who is the president of the Franchise Opportunity Mathnasium, and John Opalko, who is a Mathnasium franchisee. And John, I thought I would jump back to you for a second. What do you like most about being a Mathnasium franchisee?
I think I like working with the kids. That's really what I enjoy. You know, there's a lot that goes on in the business besides that, but, you know, I get part of the day where I get to sit down and teach,
right.
And I still teach every day. It is part of what I like to do, and I like to see the progress in the kids. I like to see the results and turning around, really, attitudes about math, turning around their grades and giving them opportunities that they might not have had.
True, yeah. I mean, you really are playing a very important role in their lives, you know, and it's one of those, you know, feel-good franchise opportunities where you're not only getting paid, but, you know, you're doing what you love to do and providing an important service as well, so.
Exactly.
And how was the training, John? Tell us a little bit about that process.
The training was a week, I believe. I've been open for 4 years, so I'm trying to remember back. So I think it's a week out in Los Angeles. And, you know, the most beneficial part for me, again, was the training in the educational system. And we got to work directly with Larry Martinick, who is the creator of the curriculum and the educational program, and gained a lot of his insight and experience from teaching and creating this over 30 years. Just fantastic. I mean, I still learn things, you know, things that he's told me, things that I've heard, you know, it's kind of awakening, you know, when you see it work with a kid, now you really understand, so there's little gems there that I'm still uncovering, but, you know, the training was very beneficial.
Good.
Is there a typical day that you go through, John, as being a franchisee?
Yeah, the typical day, I usually start my day about 9:30 or 10 in the morning, open the office up, and in the morning I'm taking calls from parents, following up on items with parents or calls that I've had, scheduling students to come in for initial assessments. taking care of the books and the business and that kind of thing during the morning. At 2 o'clock, we start instruction, and at that point, I'm doing instruction. I'm meeting with parents. I'm doing assessing students who are starting. I'm coaching my staff to make sure they're giving the best instruction possible, and the instruction lasts until 8 p.m. And then some follow-up with parents and customers, and leave the center about 8:30 or 9 at night. So it's a long day, a lot of work, but that time between 2 and 8 really goes by fast when you're working with the kids.
That's a good point. You're doing what you like to do, and you're helping people, and sure the time goes quickly for you.
Yeah, it really flies by.
That's good. This is Peter, what characteristics do you look for in the franchisees? Is there an ideal franchisee?
We are interested in people who are looking not only for a business that's financially rewarding, but also a business that is personally rewarding.
Right.
We're looking for people for whom the latter is particularly important. There's some people who would be equally interested in a business that that helps the children and perhaps a business that that produces and serves food.
Right.
With us, we're particularly looking for those people for whom service, helping people, is particularly important to them. That's because there's an opportunity here not just for a business but for a career, and the better franchisees are going to be those people who embrace a career. And the career here specifically is one of being a math education expert, somebody in the community who is empowered to transform the lives of children. So we're looking for people who are not just looking for another business, but who are looking for a mission, doing something that's truly important. We find that's most beneficial to us,
and
we typically are finding people, like extraordinary people, who if they haven't had some background in education, and most have not. Have a desire to have always had some destiny, if you will, with education. And John's an example of that. He's an extraordinary man who went to Africa to teach children before he long before he ever went to Microsoft. And that's the kind of person that we are interested in.
I wish more people called me an extraordinary man.
I'm sure you are an extraordinary man. You just need your wife to call you an extraordinary man, and that'll suffice.
Good point. Yeah.
But yeah, it's true, as you were describing the your franchisees, Peter. What you're looking for? It did sound like John was like really almost a perfect match for your type of system. So it's a good thing that you two found each other. Because franchising is a relationship. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fantastic. John, one of the questions I want to go back to you, put you on the spot, but what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? I mean, the majority of our listeners are aspiring franchisees, so you can say. They want to go into their own business. They're thinking the franchise alternative. What advice would you give to our audience?
Well, I think... my experience is just within one franchise, but I'm sure that they're all similar in the sense that it's different than a job. It really becomes your life, and the most important thing is to make sure that it's something that you enjoy. I would give that advice because in order to be successful, I think you really need to dedicate yourself to it, learning the system, understanding the theory behind the system and why it works, and buying into that and making sure that that's what you want to do, and it's something that agrees with you personally, I think if you match up like that, then you've got the keys to success.
Yeah, no, that's well said. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like, I mean, in listening to you, John, describe, you know, your life, I mean, it doesn't seem like you're working anymore. You know, I mean, you are truly doing what you want to do. And again, I don't want to go and compare it to Microsoft, but it sounds like this could be more gratifying for you.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the time at Microsoft was fantastic, and it was an opportunity that was, you know, I'll always treasure having that opportunity. It's a little bit different thing because it's more personal, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's your baby.
It's your baby, exactly. Right.
Absolutely. It's interesting. And how about you, Peter? Would you give the same advice, I mean, to our listeners, aspiring entrepreneurs, what advice would you give to them in their franchise search?
It's hard to comment after the comments that John made because
yeah.
They, listening to him, I thought they were so exquisitely, you know, formed, and
right.
You know, his thoughts there. The fact is that people succeed when they're doing what they want to do and what they enjoy doing. And so a match between the person's sensibilities and the vehicle, I think, is crucial. A lot of people might say, you know, it's a function of hard work and discipline and things like that. But a lot of those things I think that we take for granted. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, hard work and some of those other characteristics really follow doing what one wants to do. And so one has to find that match. It wasn't my intention earlier to sort of denigrate people who might have been in the food business. You know, a lot of
right.
people have,
sure.
you know, it's a wonderful thing to own a restaurant,
right.
and there's a romance often about being in an environment like that, and people who love that should do that.
Exactly.
In our case, we have people for whom one of the most thrilling things that they can imagine is to take a child who's discouraged and embarrassed by
mm-hmm.
by math and... transform that child into a math wizard. That's something that's actually possible,
right.
and doing that is a great adventure for our people. So it really is about a match of sensibilities and aspirations. That's crucial.
And it must give the child more confidence in school too. You know, I mean, I know when you're not doing well in school, you dread going. You know, so I imagine there's a lot of other benefits. In addition to just, yes, learning math, but just even from a social standpoint, you know, just enjoying the experience of school more, you know. And then
I get a lot of comments from parents that's the first thing they notice is
mm-hmm.
the increased confidence and
right.
and the change it makes overall in school.
Absolutely. Which is why, again, it's so rewarding what you do, John. You know, I mean, in addition to money, there's a, you know, really changing life aspect to the whole thing. You know, it's just sometimes what we call like a feel-good kind of franchise where you go home at the end of the day instead of, you know, we were talking about food, you know, serving burgers all day that you really didn't do much for society. You know, you're really doing something personally rewarding here, you know, so it does sound like a great opportunity. Is location a factor, Peter or John? I mean, what kind of location do you look for in setting these up once you somebody's become part of the system? Where do you go from there with the whole location factor?
I'm actually going to defer to John on that because
okay.
John has had such a sort of burgeoning business. I think, John, if I'm not mistaken, that you actually had to move or you had to expand your premises
wow.
because of the demand that you were experiencing, which yeah. only flows from the quality of service that John
mm-hmm.
provides. So, John, maybe you could address that that point.
Well, I think location is very important, and
okay.
the location that I think you want to look for in this business is something that's convenient to parents, because
mm-hmm.
parents are going to be bringing their children twice a week,
right.
At least to the center, after school when there's a lot of other activities going on, and so you want it within a convenient driving distance. You want it ideally
yeah.
to be a place where the parent can do something while their child is working on math, have a cup of coffee or shop
right.
or do some errands. So central convenient to the whole community. And so that's what I looked for when I was picking a location.
Yeah, that's true. It does make a lot of sense. So there really is an ideal location. You know, if you think about the parent dropping the child off, you know, is whether it's next to a shopping center or getting a cup of coffee, whatever that may be, there's probably some formula, I suspect, into finding a great location. So it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way, Peter, for our listeners to get more information about becoming a franchisee? We have about 30 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can go to mathnasium.com follow those, follow the track to full franchising information. Call our offices, speak to one of our franchise investment.
Perfect.
We'd be happy to guide them.
That's great. We'll put a link up on our show page as well for our listeners so they can get more information about becoming a Mathnasium franchisee. And I want to thank you again, Peter and John. You guys have been fantastic guests, and we'd love to have you back in 2010.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thanks, John. Have a great day.
Great job, guys. Good luck. Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye.
Interesting concept, huh, John?
Yeah, you know, they have a couple hundred franchises. I mean, you always know when a franchise goes international, they must be doing something right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the whole thing of, John, I mean, even expanding locations, you know what I mean?
Right.
Needed more space, you know, but I was thinking about that, you know. It's just probably is an ideal location for this type of franchise.
Yeah, we forgot to thank Peter for getting up so early, too, and being in L.A.
Yes, I always forget that, you know, it's early there, you know, so... But they did a great job. So good job today, Don. And again, for our listeners, we have a very big show next week. This is our 150th show, 3 years of doing franchise interviews. So I think this is probably a good time to thank all our listeners, too, Don, because if we didn't have them, we wouldn't be doing the show, you know. So,
good point, yeah.
It's really turned into a very big thing, you know. So very, a lot of gratitude.
All the numbers are... the amount of people listening, the people logging on to the archive shows.
It just gets bigger. I mean, every show we do, you notice the trend is we get more listeners, you know? So,
right.
I mean, here we go, adding Mathnasium to our library and just keep adding more listeners to our show. And it's just, it's incredible, you know? So who knew, you know, that it would turn
right.
into this big thing. And even our podcast, you know, is just, the numbers have just skyrocketed, so... So I thank all those listeners, and we have listeners international as well, you know, I mean,
right.
All different countries, so.
It's
a good job, Don.
It's national, the national show.
International,
international. Yeah.
You know, it really is amazing, so. Again, thanks to our listeners. Go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Have a good day, Marty.
You too, Don. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.